John chapter number 15, if you have your Bibles. And before I move any further, I do want to remind us and try to hit it as hard as I can today. Sometime today, if you can, go to Faith Life app and download the Faith Life. It's in your bulletins. I think it's in the bulletins, instructions how to get there. It is a new a way for us to communicate with all musicians, with all everybody in the church. So download that app, and I'm not even totally familiar with it. I have it now, but I'm not sure how to use it yet. We're working on that. We'll get you all acclaimed to it. But it will be easier once we all have our app, and what it will do is it will ask you for an email address. It will log you in as a user and a password, and then we will pick that up and what group you need to go in the general group or the musician group or the praise singer group or staff group, and we'll get you all in the right spots, but everybody will be in the general group, and it is a kind of a social media site for Christians, so for churches, so you don't have all the junk. You don't have all the griping. You don't have all the garbage that you have on Facebook. Can I get an amen in the house? So log into that site. It will be good for you. And brother, he has been so gracious to put it up there. And allow notifications when you join NBFF, and it will allow us to correspond with you. And we are going to try this out, see how it works. I think it's going to be a great thing for us as a church. Amen. Amen. We do have a screen we're adding on the back. I'm just kind of giving you a little promo so you know what to look for here. There's going to be an app on the back, or a screen, an app. I'm on the app kick now, ain't I? There's going to be a screen on the back so our praise singers can be able to just look back there to see the words to the songs. That's going to be really nice. Amen. We already have that. We just need to get it mounted and get it done. And I'm going to try to make that happen this week. Obviously, I've been a little preoccupied. Then Pastor worked all day yesterday, so I'm sorry for those that I was supposed to get my text out to. I was a little behind yesterday. I am the vine, verse number 1 of chapter number 15 of John says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That's the part we don't like, right? You can be doing good, and he still purges. As the branch, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit? So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I want to preach just for a little while on this simple topic, a vine and a branch. A vine and a branch. I don't know if we have any gardeners in here, but my wife and I, when we first got married, we had a little humble abode, little two-bedroom house, beautiful little spot next to the church up there in Walkerton. And outside along the fence, there was some vines, and these vines would grow up on the fence, and they were grapevines. And how many of you like to mess around with vines and grapevines and all that stuff. And these things would grow up. And I looked on the first year that we lived there, and they would get about that big around. And they were these great, big, nice, beautiful grapes. And And I told my wife, I said, well, honey, why don't I just go pick them when they're ripe and we will just do whatever we need to do. So we began to experiment. She took those grapes and she packed them all into this cheesecloth stuff that she would use. And she would squeeze these grapes and squish all the juice out of them and get all that juice. And it would stain everything. It just make everything a mess. If you touched it, you were going to be purple for a while. And once she got it all squeezed, she would put different stuff in. She would cook it. She would pour it into these jars. And I would take me a big old spoonful of that jelly out of them jars, smear it on a piece of toast, in your case, probably a biscuit. And it was just phenomenal. And it all came from a vine. When you looked at this vine, it looked so minuscule. It just looked like a root. It's just kind of protruding out of the ground, and I didn't think much of it when I first saw it. But that little vine that was down in that ground, that was stuck down in there, became something that we enjoyed year after year after year after year, as it provided something that was edible. It was good. It was sweet. It was good to taste. I remember a point in time that I decided the vines had gotten overgrown. So my dad began to instruct me what to do with this thing. And he said, well, just get you a knife or get you a pair of cutters and just cut that thing right off at the ground. I said, I'm not going to cut my vine. That's where we grow grapes every year. He said, no, just trust me, son. Just cut it off right there at the ground. I said, well, it'll die. He said, just cut it off right there at the ground. It'll be okay. And I remember as the hardest thing I reached down there with him. They may never come back again. And I snipped that vine off and pulled it all off of the things. Amazingly enough, the next year, outgrow just new branches off of that vine. That vine began to grow right back. And I had better grapes in 2 years than I had before. Vines are very unique. There at our house that we live now, we've got these vines that grow all over the fruit. They're not fruit-bearing vines, but they're vines that just seem to, if I don't stay up with them with the weed eater, they'll go right up the house. They'll grow underneath your siding. They will make all kinds of mess. And I always am amazed at how in the world these little vines can migrate up the side of a house without anybody ever picking them up and lifting them to the next spot. Anybody ever be intrigued by how a vine would grow right up a tree? Now, I could see it growing down the tree, but not up the tree. Does it have legs? What causes a vine to be able to climb a tree with nobody picking it up and doing it? And I began to study this, and I don't know if we have any nature buffs in here, but some of these things intrigue me, and it's find it interesting. It says, despite their inability to support their own weight, vines have remarkable tensile strength. They have resistance to pulling and breaking is one of the signature characteristics of a vine. Clematis vines have twining leaves that permit them to climb. I began to reach down in one of the vines there at the house that seemed to make its way constantly up into our siding, and I was having to constantly cut it back, so I thought, well, I'll just pull this thing out of the ground. Good luck. It's connected to another one, and that one's connected to another one, and to another one, and to another one. And I thought, I'm going to have to dig up the whole front yard to get rid of this thing. One of the key elements to that vine is the ability to connect with itself. Those vines going down into the ground began to pull that nutrients from the ground. But if you go to the branches of the vine, you say those little tentacles, those little pieces that come off of the vine, you can walk up and just pull a section of it off. They're not difficult to pull apart. The leaves just come right off. They're just another piece. But if you go back to the root, it's a whole nother story. It was interesting when I began to read this passage of Scripture. How he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. As I began to look at this, and I began to study, and I began to contemplate the vine and the branches, and I began to look at how the fact that a vine, when it begins to grow up, it produces the offspring. It produces the small little stuff that seems to grasp onto things. But it really can't support itself. You study the building of a church. You find a young church. It's connected with God. It has the lifeblood. It has everything in it. But it doesn't have the ability to support itself. So what does it do? It links into a family. And then it links into another family. And when you begin to link one to another, to another, to another, to another, you find something that once had no ability to structurally sustain itself. And you say, how is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. It's by an elder or an individual that may not have a lot of money. One of the most amazing things that I heard my dad say, and I found this to be true, is my dad walked over to me one day as we were talking about church growth and church building and all that stuff. He said, son, some guys think growing a church comes off the finances of a business owner. He said, but let me tell you, son, you'll find the most consistent thing to build a church off of if you need finances. He says, it's usually retirees that don't make very much money, but you can count on it every single week. And I said, that's amazing, Dad. I said, because you're 100% right. And he said, I've found this through pastoring over years. He said, it's not the giant leap that gets the vine up the tree. It's one little piece and another little piece and another little piece and another little piece. And another little piece. And you know what? There'll still be little pieces of this church is connecting. One after another, after another, after another. And someday little Killian won't be a little Killian anymore. But little Killian will be a big Killian at that day. And you know what? There'll be another link that'll grab on to another life. And you know what? There'll be a support. And there'll be structure. And there'll be something that the world can't tear apart. And they can't pull away. Why? Because there's a vine that's flowing through every single home within the church. It connects it all back to one common source, and that's Jesus Christ himself. I'm amazed that the sun comes and the wind blows, but flowing from that vine is a life source. It's the very nutrients that it pulls from the ground, and it transfers it clear up sometimes to the top of a tree. Amazing how it can get from here to there. But the second thing that I was amazed by is how, without the branches, the vine can't climb. Without the branches, the vine would still be a root stuck in the ground. You see, we don't sit here today as an island unto ourselves. God doesn't sit here as an island unto himself. The fact is, we need each other. God has a body, and we are a part of the body of Christ. We are the connectors, if you will, that climbs out of this church wall into cars, and it climbs into neighborhoods, and it climbs into homes, and it climbs into town councils, and it climbs into county councils, and it climbs into the park, and it climbs into people's lives that are hurting. We were having the wedding there at the wedding venue, and most of you were there, and I was amazed at the reception that we had of the folks that helped pull that all together in the city, rallied around the flowers and all the stuff that happened. But the thing that was amazing me the most was how a little church in a little city with just a little people had already touched so many people in this community. You say, we didn't get billboards on the sides of the roads. A little church doesn't have that kind of money. We didn't run ads on television stations. Church don't have that kind of money. We didn't get on WKVI because I checked on it. We didn't have that kind of money yet either. But the reality is, you know what? The real key to seeing this city affected and saved and touched, it's every little branch. Brother Justin, you know people I don't know. You touched families that I'll never touch. Brother Killian, when he grows up, he's going to go to school with kids or have friends and connect with people that pastor may never be able to reach into their world. But you know how God gets into their world? It wasn't maybe that they ever darkened the door of this church for the first time. But it's a little branch that starts to produce something. And somebody walks by and sees it. And you know what? Eventually, that little branch links on. And it latches on to another branch, and another branch, and another branch. And now two branches are working together. And now all of a sudden, those two branches are hanging on. And another one springing off of that one can hook onto something else. And as it begins to grow and curl, you know what you find? You begin to lift that vine just a little bit higher. And what are we doing every single week when we go to work, and we go to school, and we go out there on the job, and we love family members, and we love neighbors, and we love people? We're lifting that vine. You know, we're not the vine. We're just the branch. But we're lifting that vine out of some place of obscurity. And we're raising it up. And pretty soon, this city's going to wake up and find there's tentacles of that vine everywhere in this city. And they're going to look, and there's people everywhere connected with the vine. And they won't even know how it got there, because it happens just a little at a time, and a little at a time, and a little at a time. I love those bigger churches that are able to do bigger things. There's nothing wrong with that. But I recognized very early in growing a church in small town America, I had some big time evangelists offers to come in and do huge outreach. We would have affected probably the whole city in one outreach. Huge evangelism effort. I said, no, I don't want to do that. He said, I'm going to bring a team. It won't cost you a dime. We'll come in and pray in advance, and we'll reach the whole city at one time. I said, I don't want to do that. And he said, why would you not want to do that? I said, for one reason. I don't have enough life source to reach into all of those lives that we touch one time. Sometimes we got to realize as a church, we get one chance to reach into a lost soul's mind. One chance. And when that one chance is done, they may never be open to God again. When was the last time you really stopped to think about that window that opened in your life where you finally started to contemplate God? Had that ever really happened before? Most of us probably not. But when we finally started giving God just a portion of our mind once in a while to think about, and now the window begins to open. I am convinced that every single person in this world, at some point in their life, that window will open. And the one that's called to promulgate and to help the opening of that window better make sure you get it right. If we call ourselves the church, we stand up and say we're the church, We claim to be the body of Christ. We claim to have the answers to a lost and dying world. We claim to have salvation in Jesus' name, baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and repentance, and the living a changed life. We claim to have the recipe to broken marriages and broken families and broken children. You know what? We better make sure when we stand up and say we've got it, that we really have it, that we're really connected to the vine, that we really have what we say we've got. Because if they latch on to us only to find it's just another broken limb and the legs of life, and they realize there's really no life there, and it's really only fake, and it's really only a ritual, and it's really only emotion, and it's really only this, and it's really only that. You know what? They'll walk away, and they'll chalk it up to another religion, and they'll go on down the road, and they'll continue to be broken. They'll continue to be messed up. They'll continue to not have the answers to their life. But oh, if they connect into something that's connected to the vine, something that says, you know what? I don't have all the answers, but if you just connect through me to that thing that I'm connected to, He has every answer. He has everything you'll ever need. He has the answer to every problem in your world. When they start to connect to Him, they'll find life. See, the reality is we as individuals really don't have the ability to control very much. Vines are not a special group of plants, but like trees and shrubs, they're defined by their appearance. Isn't that amazing? We think the way we live, the way we act, the way we talk has no bearing on life. As pastor, I say it does have bearing on life. You know what? We mark ourselves intentionally for the cause of Christ. We mark our thoughts, we mark our attitudes, we mark our walk, we mark our talk. Why? Because we represent the vine. See, vines have stalks, shots, or branches as they call them, that are too weak. Hear this, they're too weak to support them own selves. Vines are divided into two groups. There's creepers and there's climbers. There's those that says, I can get it to them. And there's another one says, I can get it in them. This is amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing that God knew we would have definitions and we would have symbolisms here in the 21st century? That he knew clear back in the Bible days. And he was walking on earth saying, you don't understand it all right now, guys. To you, it's just a bush. But to me, it's a vine. And I'm a vine and you're branches. And this vine is still going to be connected in 2019 in Winnemac, Indiana. On a sprinkler Sunday, I'm going to be reaching my tentacles into little children that's running around thinking they're just playing in the water. But really, I'm teaching them if they can connect with me, what they have will never die. You see, creepers are vines that, if left alone, they will trail over the ground and oftentimes hang down, and it gives something below something to grab onto. You see, as real as we're supposed to reach out, and as real as we're supposed to reach out to the world, shame on us if we don't have enough time to reach down. Not everybody is designed to walk into a drug-infected homes, abused children. Not everybody has the capacity to reach in to that kind of a world. But there better be somebody. And just as real as that one, that are a bit bitter and hardcore and tough, and they can walk into a drug-infested house and bring order and bring a little godly influence into that home with the structure that it's needed. There better be somebody that's got enough mercy and enough grace to reach down into a lost and dying world that maybe gave up. And somebody that's walked away from God, that's given up on even being connected to the vine. That somebody can reach down and say, you know what? Just latch on here. I'll give you a leg up. You ain't given up on ministry just yet. Reach up here. I can pull you in a little closer. And you know what? That's the beauty of the vine, is it doesn't always reach one way. How dangerous is it for us as a church to look at folks that blow it, mess it up, walk away from God, do things wrong, and maybe have a wrong spirit in the process of doing that. But shame on us if we don't spend every day and spend a little bit of time praying for them and reaching in and just saying, God, make a difference. I know I may not be able to touch them. I know they may not be able to receive it. But I pray you'll reach a little vine in under the door of that home and allow the presence of God one more time just to reach down and love them just a little bit. See, the vine displays a growth form based on long stems. The way it grows is it has a long reach. I'm afraid sometimes the church needs to extend our reach just a little bit further. Sometimes it's very easy for us to get in the operational mode spiritually. Of salvation security. You say, what do you mean? I'll pick on up here because there's only a few of us up front, so I'll pick up on the front crew. Is that okay? We come to church. We sit in the presence of God. And we enjoy the moment and we feel good and we feel His presence. And we watch our children being involved, and we watch our families or our moms and dads being involved, and we've got that what I call eternal security. But we never get up and look out the window. We never walk out the door and touch people like Justin that wondered if there even was a God. We never really step outside the walls to the young people that walked up to us on Wednesday night at Dairy Queen. Said, I've got kids. Maybe I'll just come out and visit that church. You know what we were doing? We were reaching just a little bit further. You know what we were saying is, it's not all about us and pieces of toast and all the jokes and the fun we have there. But really, it's about more. We're here for a purpose. We're here on purpose. We're not here so we can have a cheeseburger and a Frosty, wrong restaurant, a cheeseburger and a Blizzard. But we're here because we're on purpose and we're trying to get the vine to reach out a little bit further. And if my tentacle just for a moment could reach through the ice cream and find somebody in the presence of a lost and dying world that says there's hope beyond this life. There's hope beyond the misery and the mess you're living in. But God can change your world. Shame on us if our arms become too short to touch this world. Those long stems have two purposes. A vine may use rock exposures and other plants or other support for growth rather than investing energy in a lot of supportive tissue, enabling the plant. I may have to read this twice for you to get what this is saying. This was probably the most amazing thing that I read. He said, rather than invest energy in a lot of supportive tissue, enabling the plant to reach sunlight with a minimum investment of energy. What that was saying is, my God will climb on top of a rock. He'll get over a hard place. He'll get down in the dirt, and he doesn't spend a lot of time on the base, but he does everything he can, spending all of his energy, all of his life source to get to the branch. Why? Because that branch can extend his reach. And if we can realize, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, God can use carnal people that never even thought there was a God, and he'll build a church, he'll fund the finances, he'll reach into a world using other people's things. You know why? Because he said, I would rather have my people reaching for the light than trying to hold itself up in the darkness. I'd rather have my people reaching in for a little light in a dark, dark world. And I don't want to spend all my time worrying about. Last time I checked, my God owned the cattle of 1,000 hills. He wasn't broke. And he's still God of every bank. He's still God of every mansion. He's still God of every business. He's still God of this entire world. He owns all the gold that was ever put in this world because he made it. And we better stop and recognize. It's not about our ability to build structure. It's about our ability to reach flesh. I've often said many, many times, if we take care of the flesh, God will take care of the structure. He'll climb up on a rock. I preached a message sometime back called Between a Rock and a Hard Place. And oftentimes that's where we find us. But the rock wasn't meant to break us. The rock meant to give us something to step up on. We see God in the wrong light. We look at the rock as this big thing that's going to crush us when we don't get it right. No, he says, I'm your leg up when you don't get it right. Why? Because I got a purpose in you. And my purpose is to get you to the light. And if you could just get on top of me and climb to the next vine. And the next vine, get to the next vine. And we're going to look back one of these days. And there's going to be a church here that's a bright light shining to a lost and dark world. And we're going to say, how did we get here? And Brother Killian will never remember these days. I hope we're still doing it. But the next pastor may not ever have a sprinkler Sunday, Killian, and I hope they do, Bubba. But the reality is, they won't remember those rock places. They won't remember Brother Austin, the sore arms and the tired backs trying to cut concrete so we could have block on the front of this building. They'll never remember those days, son. But you and I will. And you know what we're going to remember? That we couldn't afford to do it on our own. But we climbed up on a rock. And you know what? It was a sure foundation. And you know what? When another neighboring church decided they didn't need all those blocks and they donated it, you know what it was? That was God's way of saying, you just take care of the flesh. I'll take care of the rocks. I'll take care of where we need to get there. You just make sure you're investing in Killian's. Because the reality is, we aren't here to build buildings. Here to build lives. How many enjoyed all the singing and music and all? Didn't it sound wonderful today? They did a fantastic job. Thank you for working so hard to make that happen. Nice singing. But the reality is, don't forget our purpose. As I was standing there looking at the platform, and there was just about as many on the platform as there was in the pews today. That's exciting. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. And I told you all, you're going to get a steady dose of evangelism for the next little while. And the reality is, as great as it may sound, as beautiful it is, and as wonderful as that sausage and potatoes is going to be in a few minutes, God didn't call us to have dinners. God didn't call us to play drums, pianos, or toot my little horn. as much as I enjoy it, as fun as it is, and as much as I can feel the anointing when I slip off into His presence and lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and every musician knows exactly what I'm talking about. When you get in that spiritual zone and you're as if nobody's out there but God, and you're entertaining His presence, there's no better feeling. But you know what? That lifts me up into the light. But the question is, God said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we just enjoy the presence being saved, where does the lost world go to while we enjoy the presence? They slip off into eternity one after another, headed for a lake of fire that wasn't designed for them, and they don't know any different. My question for us today is, how much time are you spending praying for you, and how much time are you spending praying for them? My question for you is, how much time do you spend in your conversation? Let me pick on pastor. Talking about a wedding. Talking about all the plans and showing pictures of my little beautiful little baby girl that I gave away last week. And I spent a lot of time telling people about it this week. But my question is, how much did I talk about the bride of Christ? How many pictures of the lighthouse of the church did I show this week? I'm not supposed to get this hard on Garden Sunday and Sprinkler Sunday, am I? The reality is, sometimes we have to be reminded our purpose. While we sit here today, there is somebody sitting on their couch right now in this city, knowing tomorrow they're going to file the divorce papers. Kids are going to be in a mess, and they're going to walk away from everything they've known, and they don't know how they're going to pay the bills. They don't know where the house is going to go. They don't understand how they're going to pay for the house, and they don't understand what the situation is. Somewhere there's a child sitting here out there that's watched their mom go up and down and highs all weekend long, and they know tomorrow if the cops come and check the house, she's going to jail, and they have no idea where they're going to be tomorrow, and they're going to be struck through a court system, and thank God we've got a safety net. But the reality is, we can fix a lot of our safety net if we could just get the vine into the branches, and the branches to the mama, and the mama to the vine. And you know what? We would fix a lot of the issue. And that child could go to bed tonight without a dad screaming in a drunken stupor, beating mom half to death. And the kids know what's going on. Mom knows what's going on, but nobody can say anything because they're scared to death. And you say, that's in the big cities. No, that's right here in our city. And it's the nurses. And it's the lawyer. And it's the doctor. And they walk to the cabinet and they see those pills. And inside, there's a wrestling match going on. He says, I know I shouldn't, but I just can't stop. And there's a fight going on inside their world. And while we're sitting in church, they drive nice cars. And it looks good on the outside. But when you get them alone, it's a miserable life. Because they're not connected to the vine. We always look on the dark side of the tracks. But sometimes we've got to realize God's the same God to every human being. It doesn't matter their color. It doesn't matter their gender. It doesn't matter the way they think. It doesn't matter the way they look. They are a child of God. And what's separating them from God is His presence and a vine. And if somehow they could get a branch to wrap an arm around theirs and say, you know what? If God did it for me, He can do it for you. And you know what? You don't have to shake your whole world. But come on, just spend a few moments in prayer today. Just tell Him you love Him one time. They look at you and say, I could never go to that apostolic church. The reality is, it's not our job to get them to the church. It's our job to get them to the vine. God will take care of the rest of that. If you can just get them to a few moments, Brother Justin, to spend a few moments in prayer. If you can just convince them, just for a couple of moments, to look to that one that they never even really knew, to say, I don't know about all this, but I love you. And you're going to find a God that's standing on the portals of heaven. And it's almost as if the whole world stops at attention. He said he would leave the 99 for the one. And to me as a pastor, that's that one that's sitting on a couch today, maybe still drunk. He said, I can't live like this anymore. I've done this for so long. And the reality is, they know the abuse is going on. But when they get under the intoxication of that other spirit, they can't stop it. But if they would ever get in the presence of the Almighty God, He could change their thinking. He could change the desires of the heart. And you know what? God can take all that money spent on alcohol. And He can put new furniture in the house. He can take all that cigarette money. And He can put new shoes on the kids. And you know what? He can take all that junk that was spent on worldly garbage things to please the flesh. And you know what? For once, He may take that child's hand and say, you know what? You don't even know the old dad. But we're going out to play baseball today. And you know what? There'll come a Sunday. They're going to come walking in that door. And they're going to come to this altar. And he's going to give himself to God. And it started because a little branch connected. Somewhere along the line, he found enough faith to pray. And eventually, he found the vine. You say, is it really that simple, Pastor? It is that simple. While we drive nice cars, we have nice homes. As a church, we got a great cornhole board now. Thank the Lord. But we must not forget. For the vine to work, there has to be a branch. For the branch to live, there better be a vine. And when the wind comes and you feel some things being shaken from your world, that's not time to let go of the vine. That's time to hang on to the vine and realize that's the purging of the husbandman so that we can bring forth more fruit. And as a church, Pastor, come to tell you here today, you may look around here and you may say, boy, we wish there was 60 here today. Sometimes we go through a purging. It's not time during that purging time to let go of the vine, but it's time to climb towards the light so that you might bear more. Did you hear that? More fruit. Do I wish everybody would stay grasped on and stay connected to the vine? I get up here every single Sunday and pour myself into people. And you know what? I get it as close to that vine as I can, and I'll even drill the hole if I have to. But there's something that has to allow. The presence of God has to flow through that individual to connect into that vine, to allow that life to flow. And there's some things as a pastor I can't do. And the longer you stay disconnected from the vine, the harder it's going to be, and the more distant it gets. And you know what? Eventually when the wind comes, you're going to be blown away. And if you're like my house, somebody that comes along with a rake and you rake all that stuff that fell off and you put it in a pile. And the Bible says They gather it, and it's burned up. But when was the last time we really thought about that part? We who are still connected to the vine enjoy the blessings because we have life. And our kids love us. And they have life. But what about the world? Let's all stand. I'm coming to a close. Pastor came to remind us here today. We don't determine the type of fruit, the vine does. We don't determine the amount of fruit, the husbandman does. Our job is to stay connected to the vine. Pastor came with a big but yet simple message today. How many of you want to see this church grow? The key to seeing this church grow is to stay connected to the vine. That's the whole key. He said, If you stay connected into me, I'll take care of the rest. Understand, the husbandman will come. There'll be wind. He'll purge some things in your life. Just remember, just hang on to the vine. It'll be okay. You leave the amount of fruit up to me because I know what you can bear on your branches. I won't give you more fruit than you can handle. But you don't worry about the fruit. You worry about the vine. I wonder today in closing if we could gather. I know it's, you know what, we ain't going to gather. There ain't enough room for us all to gather up here. We're going to have to make the whole place a prayer room. I feel like I'm in the old building now. I never gave an altar call. I just said, let's just make this place an altar. But I wonder today, when was the last time you prayed for God to give you a burden inside your spirit? Let me go a little further that made you uncomfortable. When was the last time you prayed God to let you feel the lives around you so much you had trouble sleeping at night? When was the last time you prayed that God would give you influence in a life and He was willing to fast for it? Not for your problem, but for theirs. Pastor, come to remind us one more time. We've got to reach for the light. And when we reach for the light and we stay connected with the vine, one day we're going to look back and we're going to be climbing higher than we've ever climbed before. And we're going to wonder how we ever got there. Brother Uriah is going to be dancing around this place, shouting and speaking in tongues. And sister, you're going to look and say, how in the world did I ever get him to this place? The pastor's going to remind you he's connected to God. Can we all pray across this place? Heavenly Father, as we come before you right now, I pray you'll reach down inside this house right now, God, for just a moment that we might recognize the power and the value that the vine really brings to our lives. Without that vine, God, we really are nothing. We're just a dried up leaf that blows away with the wind blows. But if we can stay connected to that life source, God, what flows from you will flow through us that we might bear forth fruit, that somebody might see it. That somebody might want to connect to that vine. That somebody might find life from the things that are birthed through this church. I don't know how all you're going to do it, God. I don't know exactly how you're going to bring it all to pass. But it's not for me to determine the fruit. Even as a pastor, God, it's not to determine what kind of fruit you bring. It's not up to me, God, to determine where the branches branch into. It's my job to connect them to the vine and to shake that branch that the excess may fall off so that they may bear more fruit. Because ultimately, God, this is not about me at all. This is not about any one of us here today, God. This is all about you. And as much as we enjoy your blessings, and as much as we enjoy fellowship, and as much as we enjoy good food and kids running around in a sprinkler, and throwing water balloons, as exciting as all of that is, God, ultimately our real responsibility, God, is to connect to a lost and dying world, cause them to connect to you. And I pray, God, this week, there'll be some folks in this house that'll set aside some time for praying. But they'll pray for the lost and dying world. They'll pray for the harvest. They'll pray for laborers in the harvest. They'll become more harvest-oriented than they've ever been before. I feel in the Holy Ghost, God, we have structure. Structure, we are strong now. We have people able to disciple people. We have great music. We have all the great Sunday school department. We have all the structure now, God. Now I pray, God, you'll send the harvest. You'll use us to connect that harvest with you. And I don't know who's going to be the key in this church to that 100-soul revival. But I believe in the Holy Ghost. They're sitting here today. And I don't know how it's going to come to pass. But I believe, God, we're going to see it with our very own eyes. And the next generation that comes behind me, God, will never see this day. They'll never know the sacrifice of this day, and they'll never know the hours put in by many of them that are standing here today. Some of them will be elders in this church in that day, God. Some of them that are standing here today won't even be with us anymore. They'll be called away to be with you. I'll have preached funerals and weddings and all the stuff and baby dedications and all the stuff that goes with it, God. Someday, when this church is in future generations, don't ever let them lose the value of the vine. Because if they ever disconnect from the vine, they will die. Help them to hold fast to those things that give them life. In Jesus' name we pray.